We hope that we have opportunity to visit with you following and invite you back, of course, at every opportunity that you have and that we meet, as we meet tonight at 6 o'clock as well. And we hope that you'll be able to join us again at that time. We want to turn our attention to, in a moment, the passage there in Colossians 2. And as we discuss basic principles this morning, we want to encourage you to, and each one of us, to think about our soul before God, to consider our standing with God. Are we with God or without God? Are we in fellowship with Him, or are we alienated from Him by our sin? The remedy is Jesus Christ. As we have sung of Him this morning and remembered His sacrifice for our sins and the sins of the world, we want you to understand that the gospel is God's message of hope for you, God's message of redemption for you. If you will believe that Jesus is the Christ and act on that faith today, if you'll repent of your sins toward God, if you will confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized into Him, He will wash your sins away by His blood. He will add you to the church, His church. You'll be a Christian, so that you may then lay and build upon the basic foundations, basic principles that have to do with Jesus, to be a follower of His in all things. If you're a Christian, if there's sin in your life, then we want to encourage you to address that in God's way. The Bible doesn't tell us that we have to keep getting baptized if we sin. It teaches Christians that we are to repent and we are to confess our sin to God. He's faithful and just to forgive us. Tonight, Lord willing, we'll study more about repentance. But now we want to encourage that if that's your need, that you respond to God's will in faith and obey Him. Repent, confess your sin for His forgiveness. If we can assist in that, if you need to use a public opportunity to correct public sin, then we urge this opportunity at the end of our lesson together here this morning. We do want to talk about basic principles for a little while this morning from God's Word. Study it. So I hope you have your Bible in front of you. It's, we want to begin by just reminding ourselves of some basic principles. You know, the periodic table lists the elements, the chemical elements that make up this physical world. I guess there's 118 of those now. I think they probably discovered a few since I learned it, but they're always discovering these new elements, it seems like. But these are the elements that compose this physical world. And Peter, 2,000 years ago, wrote about those elements. He said in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. So these building blocks of the physical world, all that you see around you, are made by these elements. And the Bible says that when the great day of the Lord comes, when the Lord Himself returns for that day of judgment, all these elements are going to be melted with fervent heat. They're going to be destroyed, dissolved. Verse 12 says, he says, again, these elements will melt with fervent heat. But those are not the elements we're going to talk about this morning, the basic elements. That's not the basic principles that we're interested in this morning, although it's important for us to note that they're all going to be eliminated, and that ought to compel us to get right with God. Inasmuch as this world is going to be destroyed, if we're living for this world, we're living for something that's doomed to destruction. And we need to live for that which lasts forever. And that's why we're going to talk about some other kind of basic elements this morning that the Bible talks about. Basic elements of the world and basic elements of Christ. See, in Colossians 2 and verse 8 that we read together, just led us in the reading of, says that to beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world. So there are basic principles. There are fundamental building blocks, fundamental elements of the world. Now, the world here is not the world made up of the chemical elements, but it's that system of evil that opposes God. Those things that though often unseen, are very real and constitute to those things that destroy our souls forevermore. On the other hand, the Bible talks about elementary principles of Christ. We call them first principles sometimes because the Bible uses that terminology in Hebrews 5, but in chapter 6, it also uses this word when it says elementary, when it says leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. So again, basic elements that concern Christ. There's basic elements of the world, and there's basic elements of Christ. The Bible talks about both of them. And one reason we selected Colossians 2 as our reading is because in that text we learn that we must ground ourselves in the elements of the faith, of truth, in order to follow Jesus. Verse 5 says, "Though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit." Now, the spirit isn't made up of any of those 118 elements on the chemical periodic table. And he says, "I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith." Now note there, he talks about your faith, verse 5. He talks about the faith in verse 7. As it has a definite article in the manuscript. That's the faith. That's the gospel. We're to be rooted and built up in the gospel truth that we've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. It's that same old principle. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We must hear the faith to grow in our personal faith. And so we must ground ourselves in the elements of truth, elements of the faith, if we're going to follow Jesus Christ. And otherwise, instead of following Christ, we end up following the world. And those things lead, as we're going to see, to death. Let's contrast, let's spend our time this morning talking about a little bit about the basic principles of the world, studying it from God's Word, and then let's study about the basic principles or basic elements or first principles of Jesus Christ. The basic elements of the world. Colossians 2:8 says they're not according to Jesus. They're not according to Christ. That is, they are against. They are contrary to. They are not in harmony with Jesus Christ. That would seem obvious. And yet, the world quite often shows very vividly that they believe that, and when I say the world, I'm going to say people in the world who profess faith demonstrate that they don't grasp this basic point. Because you see, many who would consider themselves followers of Jesus nevertheless involve themselves in practice. They practice the things that are clearly of the world. The Word of God, for example, says we're to be sober-minded. And yet, many who profess Jesus believe that they can be less than sober-minded. They can drink alcoholic beverage that deteriorates sober-mindedness, and it's acceptable. But the basic principles of the world are against Jesus. And so the Word of God says to be sober-minded. It says to abstain from such. And we could go on and on down the list. I mean, the doctrines of many people not only approve adulterous remarriages, but even approve living together without marriage. And believe they're with Jesus. I mean, we don't have to. Do we have to tell all the denominations that teach that and practice that today? A lot of them do. Most of them. Especially the old so-called mainline denominations. Well, we want to drill this into our thinking. The basic elements of the world are not according to Christ. What they do, whatever they are, what they do separate us from Christ. They enslave us. In fact, look at Galatians 4 and verse 3. It says there, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world." Now, Paul is describing the time when they were under the law of Moses. But you see, the law bound up everybody in sin. It identified sin, but it didn't give redemption from sin. And so they were held in bondage under the elements of the world. Elements that were sin. Now, there are a variety of elements. And it enslaves us to serve sin. These basic elements of the world enslave us to serve sin. It reminds me of the verse in Romans, the 7th chapter. Paul talks about himself, uses the illustration. He said, let's see, verse 14. "We know that the law is spiritual." God's law is good. "But I am carnal, sold under sin." He violated the law. So he said, "I was carnal, I was sold under, I was held captive by sin." Basic elements of the world are not according to Jesus Christ. Well, what are they? Well, this is not exhaustive. We just want to look at four. Clearly, one of the rudimentary principles or elements of the world is unbelief. When we talk about elementary or rudimentary, that is the basic element of the world, unbelief has to pretty well top the list. Ephesians 4, 17 through 19 is just one of a number of verses that illustrate the point. Paul said, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." Now, the rest of the Gentiles would be the Gentiles who had not believed and obeyed Jesus. They're still lost. They're still in the world. Where are they? Look at the description that we're no longer walk in. "In the futility of their mind, their thinking is useless, futile, no power there, having their understanding darkened." We talked about chapter 1 where Paul's prayer was that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. Chapter 1:18, "But the eyes of the world are dark. Their understanding is darkened, being alienated from the life of God." Watch that. Not with God, not according to Jesus, alienated from God, from a life of God, from the life of God. "Because of the ignorance that is in them," that is the lack of understanding, the lack of knowledge, "because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ." Now, you say, "Well, Joe, I didn't read unbelief in any of that." That's a picture of unbelief, though, isn't it? That's the picture of unbelief, is a lack of trust and belief that God rules, that man is created by Him and subject to Him. The unbelieving mind is dark. It doesn't have the light of truth guiding it. The mind of unbelief doesn't understand. It's in ignorance. Lack of knowledge of God's will and way of truth. The mind and heart of the unbelief, the way is the way of death. Not life in Christ. Not with Him. That's a rudimentary element of the world. Unbelief. And so Jesus came and said, "Except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Of course, we can say all the basic elements of the world are sin. Because they are. Unbelief clearly is one of those rudimentary elements, basic elements of the world. Colossians 2, in our reading this morning, we find that the philosophies and traditions and commands and doctrines of men are some of the basic elements of this system of evil that is opposed to God, the world. You want to talk about the world? The world is a system, the cosmos of evil. And go back to Colossians 2:8. It said, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy." That's human wisdom. philosophies of the world. And you can study those. You can study them in academically, from Persia, from the Far East to the Near East to the Middle East to the Greeks to the Romans to the French to the Americans, wherever you want to go. The philosophies of men, when it's all said and done, are empty deceit. Because they put trust in man's ability to know what life is about. Man's ability himself to tell you what life is and what it's going to be, what it should be. No, he says, beware according to these things are according to the tradition of men. Men have handed it down. Confucius handed it down. Or some other thinker and his followers have handed it down through the ages. According to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. Well, that would include 20 through 23, the commandments and doctrines of men. Because you see, he picks up this idea, verse 20. If you died with Christ, watch this, from the basic principles of the world. There's our phrase. Christians, we died to those principles. We died to unbelief. We died to the things that make up the world. Why then, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all things concerning all things perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. Now, again, there's our phrase. These are the elements of the world. Things men command of men. That men indoctrinate men with, men and women. I use men generically, men and women, human beings. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion. It seems right, feels right. In America, June has been declared Gay Pride Month. And a lot of religions impose that. Celebrate that. Teach that. And to them it seems wise. But you see, it's rooted in unbelief. Because it rejects the truth of Almighty God. The traditions of men. False humility. Neglect of the body. And they have no indulgence. They have no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Things that men originate and propagate and demand as necessary religion are of no value before God and no benefit against the flesh. Useless. But those are the basic elements of the world. That's what the world is built out of. We need to identify that by being grounded in the faith. Verse 7, Colossians 2:7, right? So that our personal faith will be strong. Another basic element of the world is carnality. The flesh. We've read that already. Things that are carnal. And the works that are carnal. Love not the world and the things that are in the world. John wrote, 1 John 2 and 15. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we're not to turn our affections to these things that are in opposition to God, where Satan reigns and rules. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So in contrast to the love of the world is the will of God. The lust of the flesh, eyes, and pride of life, these things that are carnal, driven by the flesh. These are the elements of the world, basic elements. Things that the eye desires, things that the flesh craves, things that pride lifts us up about. Those things produce the works of the flesh. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. And you see here the connection between the elements of the world and the heart. Right? Because the heart is given to these elements of lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. And with that heart given over to evil, then the product is the fruit is the conduct that is evil. And those who practice such, Paul said, will not inherit the kingdom of God. We cannot practice those. No matter how much somebody wants to celebrate gay pride, the Word of God condemns it as sin. No matter how much people want to celebrate drinking alcohol, the Bible says it's not soberness. It leads to the drunkenness. And so all of that has to be put away. And we can go, though the world sees nothing wrong with immodest clothing, the Word of God says, clothe yourself in modest apparel. Now, these basic elements of the world craves the things of the flesh and applies it to the way people live. We need to identify that and recognize those things are of the world and are to be, he says, we've died to those. Remember that Colossians 2:20? If you died with Christ, these things are against Christ. They're not according to Christ. So if we died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, his point is, why go back to them? A fourth element from 1 Peter 4:2 and 3. And it goes along some of what we just said, but I wanted to note this passage because it talks about us having a new mind in Christ. And we talk about when we're baptized, we'd have a new mind, we'd have a new way of thinking. Peter says this. He says that since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, aren't yourselves of the same mind, verse 1. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. We're willing to accept the suffering of the flesh to cease from sin because we have the mind of Christ now. That he no longer should live the rest of his life in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we spent enough of our past lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, and drunkenness, and revelries, and drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. All of that constitutes the will, the cravings, the lust, the desires of men. These are the basic elements of the world. And he says, because we have a new mind, we're to live a new life. We're not to build our life with these elements any longer. We're to be dead to them and they to us. So these elements of the world enslave us in the death, I'm sorry, in the guilt and death of sin. Paul talks about that in Romans 3 at length. He describes the futility, the destruction, the death, the captivity and death of sin as he builds his case that our only release is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our only release comes through the gospel. The righteousness of God, which is according to faith. And so, Romans 6, he says, do you not know that to whomsoever you present yourselves as servants of obedience, his servants you are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But thanks be to God that whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. You became obedient to the gospel. That was the doctrine teaching that was delivered, that you were brought to. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. It's the gospel that frees us from sin. So we're going to present ourselves to God because as long as we present ourselves to the world, to the elements of the world, we carry guilt, we carry shame, and we're eternally separated from God. And so the transition is in verse 23 when he says the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is life available, not through the basic elements of the world, but in Christ. So let's talk about the basic elements of Christ, where there is life in Him. And not unbelief and the traditions of men and carnality and human will and wisdom, but rather in Jesus. Hebrews 5 uses this phrase, first principles, a couple of times. Let's read the text, Hebrews 5 and 12. He says, though by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Now, did you pick out in there that when he talks about first principles, he uses some corresponding words? There in verse 12, he corresponds milk to first principles. Someone needs to teach you again the first principles because you need milk. Okay, so the first principles constitutes milk, fundamentals. Again, you see, verse 13, unskilled. Those who need milk are unskilled in the word of righteousness. Why? Because there's a babe. All right? So there's a lack of maturity there. And so he goes on to chapter 6 and verse 1 that if they were to lay again the elementary principles, then you're laying the same foundation again. So first principles, elementary principles are foundational. By the way, the word elementary in verse 1 is the same word as first in chapter 5 and 12. And so he's talking about first principles, basic elements that are the milk of the Word, that are needed and necessary and important for the unskilled, but enable, that lay a foundation for the babe to mature, to become full grown in Christ. So here's something we can learn about first principles. They're a starting point for your faith, not the end. They're the beginning place, the first place, the foundation, the elementary, the rudimentary, the beginning place. The word, again, as I note, the word is the idea of this commencement, actually. The commencement. Why do we call it graduation? See, a commencement. Because while it true is an end of something, it's also the beginning of something else. And so, first principles are the beginning. It's the beginning of our faith. As we die to the principles of the world, now we are to have this foundation for our spiritual growth. So it's the starting point. We understand that. I know this is very elementary, but it's elementary for a reason. And we'll see some of that more in a minute. It's elementary because it's the start of our life. It's where the Christian begins their life in Jesus. Not where they remain, but it begins by putting away the principles of the world, as we noted already. Peter said, talked about that, putting away all sin, all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. As newborn babes long for the sincere or pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. The new babe in Christ craves the Word of God so they can grow. Now, question is, do we, as we mature, do we keep craving the Word? Or are we just satisfied with the milk? Do we crave that which comes with the skill of using God's Word? And that's the next point about the elements, these first principles of Christ. They help us become skilled, more skilled in using more of God's Word. I mean, we want to use more of God's Word. But if, and that, in fact, that was the context of Hebrews 5. The writer wanted to talk to them about the priesthood of Christ, that is, after the order of, after the likeness of Melchizedek. And he said these things are hard to explain because you become dull of hearing. So the first principles of Christ, these basic elements of Christ, are to help us become better hearers of God's Word, better users of God's Word, more skilled in it. 13 and 14. See, the one who just partakes of the milk of the first principle, he's unskilled because he's still a babe. Needs solid food. Again, so simple, so fundamental. We start our babies on liquids and we progress them to solids so they grow and mature. So we start a Christian on the liquids, on the milk, on the fundamental principles so they can grow by adding to that the solid food. Like the priesthood of Christ. And what that means to our faith. What that means to the purposes of God. And our trust in Him. And how that applies to us. Because there's application to us. When we talk about the priesthood of Christ. But we're not equipped to take that meat, that food, if we become satisfied with milk. We become unskilled. The first principles are to help us learn and grow in our use of the Word of God. Peter said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Some of the teaching we've actually... Let me just illustrate. Some of the things we were studying this morning in Acts about the pattern of how churches did benevolent work. That's some of the meat of the Word, honestly. That pattern needs to be understood. And if it's not, if people are not equipped to accept that pattern, what happens? Churches go off into error, following things and doing things for which there's no Bible authority. See, if we're just content with the plan of salvation and resurrection from the dead and eternal judgment, then how are we going to sit down with somebody and show them what the Bible pattern is for the work of a local church in the work of benevolence? Are we going to be able to even show them what the work of a local church is? Much less how to do benevolent work. Or we just leave that to the elders and the preacher. Because if that's our attitude, then we become satisfied with the milk. And it makes the very point we're trying to make this morning. Honestly. We need to learn and grow from the foundation, from the principle, from the elements we add to our faith individually so that we can all then give and do our part in the collective, in the group. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7, he talks about that growth. Look at it. And it's obvious he's talking about things that build on first principles. 2 Peter 1 and verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Remember Colossians 2, 5 through 7? Be established in your faith, rooted and built up in the faith. Well, now, with the faith, give diligence to add to your faith virtue. And virtue, knowledge. And knowledge, self-control. And self-control, perseverance, and perseverance, godliness, and godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. There's the adding to our faith. We take the element, the principle, the first principles, we take the basics, we take the elementary parts, and then we grow in our personal faith by adding these things. And it is a lifetime of progress. And that too is to be perceived and accepted and recognized is this is the ongoing life of the Christian using the Word of God to discern good, to discern evil, to apply self-control, to apply brotherly kindness and love and so forth. The basic elements help us become skilled in using more and more of God's Word. And thirdly, the basic elements of Christ are to be built on, not forgotten. Going back to Hebrews 6 and verse 1, what does he mean, leaving? He says, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles. Does that mean we're never to talk about baptism or the plan of salvation? Well, obviously not. When he says leaving the first principles, he's talking about advancing. Advancing towards something higher. Something more than. Something in addition to from God. In other words, you don't linger, but you press onward to the maturity, to the higher attainments with a warning here. If we fail to do that, what happens? If we linger in the fundamentals, we're tempted to recede. We recede and fall back and even fall away rather than be strengthened. Look at the context. He says, this we'll do if God permits. That is, we will press on to perfection, to maturity. For it's impossible that those who have been enlightened once and tasted the heavenly gift become partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted the good Word of God and the powers of the age to come if they fall away to renew them to repentance. If we don't press on to maturity, we expose ourselves to falling away. And in the falling away, so hardening ourselves that we won't repent. And so verse 11, he goes on to say, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, apathetic, neglectful, content, if you will, satisfied, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. In other words, don't be satisfied with the first principles. Press on. Do not grow tired of, but always remember these things, although you know them and are assured of them. Peter said, that's why I'm writing to you. 2 Peter 1, 12 through 15. Peter said, I know you know these things. I know you understand what I'm telling you this morning. But Peter said, I'm going to write them to you anyway so that when I leave, when I die, you'll have a point of remembrance. And we do the same. That we'll have a point of remembrance. Because we've got to always remember and not grow weary in doing God's will. Spiritual growth is the training to follow and be like Christ, to bear the image of Jesus, Luke 6 and 40. Spiritual growth is not always trying to seek and find some new thing. Spiritual growth is being trained in the Word of Jesus, trained to follow it, to become more and more like Christ, to bear the image of Christ, Colossians 3:11 says, 10 and 11. And so, committing ourselves to spiritual growth, we have to commit ourselves to go beyond first principles, to build on those as we strengthen our personal faith based on the revealed faith of the gospel. Basic elements of the world destroy lives and lead to eternal destruction. The basic elements of Christ, the first principles of Christ, lay for us a foundation of faith on which we build, on which we grow, on which we add and produce this mature Christian. Philippians 3:14 says, as we press on, press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so, putting to death the elements of the world, let us, while acknowledging the first principles as crucial and foundational, let's build on that foundation for our personal growth. By time with God's Word, by using it in our life. Verse 14 of chapter 5, Hebrews 5:14. Solid food is for those who are mature. Why? Because they use it. They exercise their senses to know good and know evil. If we're having trouble knowing good and evil, let's go to the Word of God. If you say, well, I don't have that trouble. I know what's good and I know what's evil. Then we need to go to the Word of God to encourage us to do the evil and forsake do the good and forsake the evil. See? We're not going to remove ourselves from the Word of God if we're going to be strengthened and established in our faith. The basic elements of Christ lays this foundation for us to grow and mature as we press on to heaven. We hope that's your desire this morning, to respond to the first principles of Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God and that He lived on this earth without sin and He died on the cross as a sacrifice for the sins of the world, for yours and for mine. The principle that 3 days later He arose from the dead, and He is at the right hand of God exalted today. And that He says, you need to believe on Me or you'll be lost in your sin. You have to believe on Me or you'll be lost in your sin, Jesus said. That He said, repent and be baptized. He said it through His apostles, Acts 2:38. To repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. He said He would add us to His church. And so He does. As in faith we repent and are baptized. If that's your need this morning, we hope you'll obey Jesus. Reject, put to death the basic elements of the world. And be enlivened by the blood of Christ. Freed from your past sin. To live now for Him. And to build upon these first foundational truths that you may grow and mature in Christ. If we can help you do that, be saved, serve Him, please come while together we stand and sing.